Shabbat Shalom again, everyone.
I'm letting him introduce you because you were his pastor for so many years.
Wow. Thank you.
Just wanted to give a word of introduction to our speaker today, Alex, who's going to be bringing the word to us, giving us his message. Alex is a pastor at Fisherman's Net for, gosh, I don't know how long, years and years. I've known Alex when I first came to the Lord. I walked in the doors of Fisherman's Net, and I knew I was home. I mean, that's the way it was. I walked in, there was a guy at the front door going, "Come on in, brother." And I had just met the Lord a couple of weeks before, and I just felt at home. And I remember seeing Alex for the first time up in his office, and he prayed with me to really receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, and I'll never forget that day. I had a chance to really share with Alex what happened to me, and we've been great friends ever since. He's just a dear brother in the Lord. And so I just give you Alex, and let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's good to be with you today. We just read that passage taken from Mark chapter 4, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And I pray this morning that it will be a word in season. I joined you this past Sunday for the garden party, and it's an opportunity to be able to shine for Yeshua, to welcome people to come in. And by hearing the tribute that was paid, your congregational leader's wife by her sons, and to be able to hear her bring honor to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to honor his son. That's seed being sown. And so that's my prayer today, that it'll be a word in season for you. This parable is one of a series of parables concerning the kingdom of God. How shall we liken the kingdom of God? Well, the Lord tells us in these parables, a seed sown with four different outcomes, followed by another parable that speaks to us of darnel and wheat, tares and wheat, followed by another parable about the kingdom of God being as a grain of mustard seed. And then this parable. There's a similarity of basic ideas in them, that the seed, when it's sown, it carries potentialities, but it needs to be planted. And in each parable, when you think of that, in each of them, there's the idea of growth, development based on planting, and then the harvest. In this little parable, the central idea is growth, followed by harvest. But his teaching also contains for us the process between planting and harvest. So this parable, along with all the others, has similarities and yet a difference, because the planting takes place, and then the man goes on with his life. Verse 27, he sleeps and he rises. The normal day-by-day things that we do. At nighttime you sleep, you rise, activity. And having planted, the man goes on. And the seed contains within it a process of germinating, a process of developing. Are you with me? So when we consider this parable, it's a little different in some respects because the other ones, the parable speaks to us of a man sowing who's Yeshua. But in this one, it's a man. It's a man sowing. And without his help or her help, the seed enters a process. And so when we speak to someone, we speak of Yeshua, we bring honor to his name. In a congregation like this, we speak that God has given to us revelation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has given us his blessed word, but the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, at the garden party, Yeshua's name is mentioned. We are the best advertisement because next to the word, we're epistles read of men, right? Every one of us, you and I, every one of us, because we're a miracle. We're God's miracle. Our lives have been transformed. So without his help, the seed is sown and the man does nothing. The key word is watch. Is watch. First the blade, then the ear, then the full ear of corn. In the other three parables, the sower is the Lord, but not he. Not in this one. No. You and I, we sow. We plant. And then we carry on our activities. The planter is enacting. Because there's laws, there's principles of life in that seed and in that soil. Or we can say there's a force of life in that seed. There's a force of life in that soil. And so Yeshua draws our attention to the cooperation between man and nature. Because nature can't plant, it can't harvest, it can't process the grain or the corn or the growth in a grove. And likewise, a man can't give increase. We can't make it happen. Because it's a germination process. And so for those of you who worked, who helped, I mean, I get down to the basement. I mean, there's people bringing food, preparing food downstairs, and coming up. You know, your guests are just enjoying the day. But there's a lot that's going on. I'm wired that way. If I go into a restaurant, I thank the waiter. I thank the waitress, I'm appreciative of them providing a meal for us because I know a great deal goes into putting on a meal for us, be it a restaurant or if we're guests in someone's home. I always thank people. I have to watch what I eat, but if I go into somebody's home, I don't say, well, I can't eat that. I'll eat whatever was prepared, so I'm not fussy. I try to be not high maintenance. Let me say it again. I try to live my life so I'm not high maintenance. Now what's wrong, Alex? No, I try to live my life. So I come to your home, I may be restricted on certain foods. You serve it to me, oh, I can't eat that. Then the hostess said, why didn't he say that before? I've spent a lot of time preparing this meal. Whatever you serve, I will eat. I may eat less of it, but I'll eat. Because we want to be appreciative. And so what you did is you opened up your home, Herald and Grace, the body of Congregation Beth Messiah, put its best face forward and said, come. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. So in that seed being sown, there's a force of life. In the seed, there's a force of life in the soil, and the man goes on. So the thing is he's telling us that once we plant, there's nothing more we can do. We pray, but we have to be faithful in planting. We have people in our neighborhood. We have a young man. He's going to be an orthopedic surgeon, so he's finished medical school. He lives across the street from us. I don't live in a fancy community. I live in Macomb County. But they're getting ready to move out. So I told him I'll help keep an eye on their house. If I'm weeding, I'll go across the street, weed their lawn as well. And I said, may I pray with you? Yes, come right in. So they bowed their head, and I mentioned the name of Yeshua, that he would be with that wife because she's been taken far away from her sources of support. I was married, I'm a widower, so I understand how important it is for women. He'll be busy every day. He'll be busy. Get up in the morning, he's got to be up at the crack of dawn, report at the hospital, do rounds with the others, sit in the OR watching and then practicing. She's by herself. I saw her yesterday, she came home for the holiday. So it's my husband, he's busy. He's busy. I have to just take little going out here, going out there, starting to meet new people. The point is I saw an opportunity, how can I bring the Lord to bear on this situation? So we speak, we bear witness. I'm like every one of you, away from the pulpit, I'm just a member of the community. But if there's someone that's sick, may I pray with you? Would you mind if I prayed with you? I'll pray with them right then and there. I mean, if we're in the mall or something like that, we'll go over to the side. But if I have an opportunity, may I pray with you? Because that opens up a door. That opens up a door that we can share our faith. A man soweth, and then what does he do? He knoweth not how it grows. But first there's a blade. He watches. Then the ear. Then the full head of corn. Then he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And so he waits, just like you and I. We tell our children the good news, and then they're out in the world. Because the message that I hear from Scripture, it's not only good for here, it's for out there, where fortunes rise and fall. And so, with our children, I've inculcated that word to the best of my ability. Think biblically. When there's good years, tuck some money away, because Joseph tells us, Genesis tells us, the Bible tells us that there's good years and lean years, right? So I try to explain the Bible to them in ways they can understand out there. He says, well, you know, someday we'll be in heaven. I want them to think like observant Jews. Apply that word. Apply the wisdom in Scripture. Apply it, because it carries the day. And the gospel still cuts the mustard. Still can do it. Still changes people's lives. And so, the man who planted, there's no more you can do. So you wait. It doesn't mean there's no more activity, because unseen, away from human eyes, a process goes into effect, and we call it germination. And a seed comes to fruition. So is the kingdom of God. The requirement that it speaks to us is patience. Patience. Since the harvest is preceded by planting. It was one Englishman, Chambers, who said that one of the greatest stresses for us as believers is waiting on God. What is the kingdom of God? It's His rule. It's His reigning in our life. It's His work in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so there it is again. They took the words of Yeshua. That's our marching orders. So we get up in the morning, I check in with the general. Get up in the morning, the conversation starts. Father, thank you for Saturday's bright and blessed morning. I surrender my life to you. I pray to walk with you. Because those 5-10 minutes spent with Yeshua it is, if you will, keeps me healthy for the rest of the day. It keeps me healthy. It's good for mental health. I surrender my life to you, and I'm joined by my children. I'm joined by grandchildren. We're joined by our people. Thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for the gift of life. That's for starters, and the conversation begins. I have a young son with special needs, and so, as you know, they can be high maintenance. And so I get up each morning already behind. So I have to start doing things immediately. If I want him ready by 8 o'clock in the morning for a school bus, we have to start at 6:30. So there's no sleeping in. But we start the day. Thank you. Tomorrow, thank you for Sunday's bright, blessed morning. Thank you for the gift of life. And so, Lord, I surrender my life to you. And when we do that, we're starting off on the right foot, because our righteousness is as the dew of the morning. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it's already drying up. And so there was one American, Dwight Moody, who said, we're leaky vessels, so we have to stay constantly under the fountain of the Spirit of God. Fill me, fill me, fill me afresh. And so, what is the kingdom of God? It's His rule. It's His reigning in our life, and to think biblically. So what took place this past Sunday was bringing Yeshua in such a beautiful way that there was a meal served, a kindness that was tangible. Remember, the world is a cold place. There's good people in there. I'm not saying that. But, you know, I taught my children, always be thankful for other believers in Yeshua. Because my kids grew up being among believers. They figured everybody's like that. And my son got into a contract with a person who was very dishonest. Promised to do some work on his house, didn't complete it, so he kept trying to reach the person. And the girlfriend said, if you keep calling here, we're going to go to the court and get a PPO order against you. I said, son, I'm just telling you, you know, that's the world. So he got off cheap. Cost him several $100s, but he still got off cheap. Because there's lessons that you learn in life. And then we begin to see is when we have the kingdom of God operative in our life, with it comes wisdom, with it comes guidance. So he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But he doesn't want us to be foolish believers after he's come to us with grace and wisdom. So we learn to think biblically. When there is a scripture study, you be there. Take it in. Because you've got a gift with Harold. You've got a gift with John. Those that are instructing in scripture. We have to think biblically. And when I look at, you know, just the God's people, the Jewish people, not all, but those that are observant, those that are followers of Yeshua, that word is operative in our lives, because the Ten Commandments protect us, and the words of Yeshua keep us free. Keep us free. Let me put it to you another way. You didn't have a president as popular as we had with President Clinton. If you didn't agree with his politics, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Two one-liners in Scripture. You don't lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, shalt not commit adultery. And I mean, wherever he is golfing, let him go through. If he's sitting down in a restaurant, there happens to be somebody there, I bet you more often than not, somebody else will pick up the tab. Send his bill over here. Send the bill over here. He's a popular man. But boy, did he pick up a tab. Did he pay a price for breaking 2 one-liners? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And when people see him, that'll always overshadow his life. Right? So when we say, obey those 10 commandments, because they are your protection, the Almighty, and I say this reverently, is not simply clicking his teeth. He's warning us. That's our protection. That is our protection. So if I see a dollar, it's not mine, I leave it there. It's not mine. If I see something, it's not mine. So I'm going to leave it alone. I try to live that scripture, the Proverbs, that are protection for us, the wisdom of God. We think biblically. So as you have someone seasoned instructing you in scripture, you be there and you take that in. Because there's never a time when I'm sitting under God's word that I don't get something out of it. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little, but it's always building on a body, on a body, on a body of God's word. That's our protection. That keeps us guided in our lives. And so this parable is rich. It's not telling us we don't have a part in each other's lives, yet it reveals the point at which a man or woman's work stops. Once that seed is sown, then we begin our prayer. A man planting seed, we can break up that hardened ground by plowing. We can help the soil with fertilizing. And so if someone that I run into, they were once at a member of a believing community, I'll speak to them. Listen, don't forget, the Lord has a plan for your life. Always trying to put them in mind of the Lord. Do my part. I may not be the one who brings in the sickle, but I don't want to drop the ball while he or she is in my circle of influence. You follow me? So we want to be men and women that are of consequence, that our lives count for Yeshua. When we have our children, we can be shocked by their lying. We can be shocked by their taking something. I'm not shocked. They have to be born again. So we can be shocked as a parent, as a grandparent, that the little boy lies or the little boy has taken something. No, they have to be taught. Right? We have to teach them. We have to instruct them. No, that we're taking that back. No, we don't lie. That we don't do in this household. And we keep planting that word. Because if they don't get it from us, I'll tell you what, let me tell you this, parents, we won't be the only ones to teach them. They'll get out there and there'll be the employer who will... I had a young man, he was working in a place, and he got there a couple of times late. The parents said, don't do that. Oh, they need me there. Well, you know what happened. Cat lost his job, man. Cat lost his job. But you know what happened? What the parents had told him was spelled out. Don't get there late. They need me there. They need me. Well, you know what? A little sowing, a little reaping, huh? The next time he gets a job, he just knows, I got to, if they tell me to be there at 7, not 7:15, 7 o'clock, or a few minutes before, reporting for duty, right? That's the way it is. That's the way. And Yeshua's told us that. There's sowing and there's reaping, right? And you're in law enforcement. And people come up for bad choices. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. So one day you end up with strangers telling you what to do. From the moment you're taken into custody and they put your head down in the back of that scout car, you don't want anybody telling you what to do. So you end up with strangers telling you what to do. Sowing and reaping. And so it's much better to, precious God, I humble myself and I will do things your way. Your way. Yeshua tells us is that the fields are white to harvest. And we want to plant, we want to sow the right seed, which is the Word of God. Because it's the supreme sufficiency of the Word. We pray as believers for there to be a revival. It may come, it may not come. I don't have control over it, and neither do you. But one thing we've been given, it's given the gospel. And the gospel transforms people's lives. Because we're extended, we're offered forgiveness. And all I can tell you is I've lived long enough to know at nighttime, people get up. You almost sometimes hate to have to go to the bathroom because, man, the gremlins come out at night. And we sometimes forget. We are followers of Yeshua. But the people that don't have faith in their life, man, what do we exist on? Malachs? Right? When you think of it, I mean, people carry burdens, and we forget about that. But that's what's offered. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he's a new creature. Old things pass, behold, all things become new. And so for us that have been following Yeshua, every time we get burdened, we got to take that burden and we got to put it in his hands, knowing he's always, always taking care of us. Always. I'm finishing up. James read to us that passage out of Isaiah. His name means God, our salvation. The book is rich because when you look at Isaiah, there's a man who understood international relations, broad sweeps of history. The great powers in the region at that time are mentioned: Assyria, Egypt, Israel. He speaks to his people of the greater David to come, to keep their hope. He reminds a nation that they have an ethical, a spiritual mission as a people, the Hebrew people. And yet in the midst of all these powerful messages is a little parable. That's an elegant little parable and observations from country life. That grain varies from corn. There's a staff for grain, a strong plank for cutting down corn. One application to bring in a harvest ruins another form of crop. And we're told that this also comes forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And so through the prophet Isaiah, he's saying that once that farmer sows that seed, he has different rows for the corn, for the grain, for the barley, and they're all harvested in different methods. And so that God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knows how to bring seed to fruition. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And so for you and I, as we are serving Yeshua, and at times it gets hard, never forget that our blessed Lord, he swung a hammer for a few decades, a couple of decades, covered with dust, wood shavings. He understands this earthly realm. He understands it. He understands the difficulties. And so what we can do is lean upon him. But never forget, when it comes to sowing the seed, we sow it, and the man knows at what point his or her work stops. Unseen from human eyes, a process begins of germination. And so the farmer, after the planting, he looks up heavenward, And he says, I pray for rain. And for us, we say, it's out of my hands, dear God. Give the seed what it needs for harvest. Because that's what Isaiah is saying. He knows what the seed needs in order for it to germinate. The water, everything that needs to bring it to harvest. And so I want to close with this idea. If we're called to be farmers, in a sense, of sowing the seed, we don't live in the past. You can't live life looking at it like through a rear view mirror. The farmer, and we had a farmer up in Mecosta County, which is outside of Big Rapids. He had some of the best corn. And sometimes I'd go up there. I'm a city boy. I'll tell you right off the bat. I'm a city boy. But, you know, sometimes a farmer would there. He'd be visiting with some other people. I would just stand in the background to hear him speak. You know, I didn't always understand what they were saying. But I just enjoyed listening to him speak about sowing and their corn and discussing their different crops. But that farmer, once he sows that seed, and it's starting to come up time for harvest now, he's not thinking, man, that farming season 4 years ago, man, that was great. 9 years ago, that was bad, really bad. No, he lives in the now. He's looking and just saying, once it begins to grow, I have to know when to come in and harvest. We can't even change what we had for breakfast, but we learn and keep going. We fall, we shake off the dust, we learn from it, we get up, and we keep going. So, in conclusion, be patient with God, be patient with yourself. He's working in our lives, unseen from human eyes, the inner man. He continues to work in our lives. First the blade, then the ear, than the full head of corn. It's a lifelong process, but the dividends are eternal. So, those of you who belong to this congregation, and especially this last Sunday, and opening up your home, welcoming people every week in, week out, Karen's talking about going over to Royal Oak to the festivity today. She wants to be a witness. We sow, we plant that seed, and then we get on with it because we know that it's in God Almighty's hands. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we come to you today and we bless thy name. And we honor you that, Lord, the wisdom of sowing, planting, of sowing the seed, the right seed, the Word of God, that's all in your domain. And how that process takes place and all the germination, that's you giving the increase. We only pray to help us to be alert where to plant that seed and to pray that that seed germinate. And so, Lord, we want to be a vineyard, we want to be a grove, we want to be a field that's fruitful to the glory and honor of the owner of the vineyard, of the owner of the field. We ask all of these things in the blessed name of Yeshua. And we all said, Amen.